All right, Psalm 119 here tonight. So say we're going to be here a while. No, I want to hit some highlights here tonight. Just while you're turning there, let me just kind of give you a basis of background of this. There's times when I actually bring to you some things that the Lord is trying to strengthen in my life and some things that I'm personally reading. And I've been doing some reading about Bible meditation here in the last little bit. And I want to strengthen that in my life. And what I want to emphasize and focus in tonight is kind of related to what I've shared about a year ago, if I remember right. And that's prayerfully reading Scripture. And let me just say this. We have a problem in many cases because for so long we've been indoctrinated. I'm using that word on purpose. We've been indoctrinated that if you don't read your Bible every year, you're not a good Christian. I would rather slow down and get something from the Bible than just check off an assignment. And let me just point out, I constantly struggle with that mentality. I'll get going on this and start prayerfully reading through the Bible, and then it's like, well, I'm not a good pastor. I'm not reading as much of the Bible as I should be. Those are the things that go through my mind. I want you to notice Psalm 119, verse 18. This is a verse that grabbed my attention as I was doing some reading. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I have a note written here, prayerfully read the Bible. And let me just say this, when we hurriedly, hastily read through the Bible, we miss things. In fact, because of so many years where I was like, well, I've got to read a certain amount of the Bible and everything and listen to it and all those kinds of things. Because I've had that so many years, there's times when I'm still finding things that I've never noticed before, even though I've read them how many times. Notice again, this is a prayer, it's a form of a prayer. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now that means we're going to have to slow down and pay attention to what we're reading and not just reading for an assignment. In fact, I think in many cases, we have pacified our conscience. Well, I've been reading through the Bible, you know, every year for how many years now? In many cases, we pacify our conscience. The question we should be asking is, how much am I getting out of what I've read over the years? One of the things, and I think you know by now that I like variety. That's why some of these pastors who will pick a book of the Bible and Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, and midweek, they're preaching the same sermons from the same topic or same series. I can't do that. I have to have variety in my life. In fact, I'll be honest with you, even as your pastor, I'm not one who probably can start at Genesis and go all the way through in many cases because I get bogged down. It's like I want to, the New Testament epistles, I want to emphasize those and so on. So the Lord impressed on my heart as I've been doing some reading here recently to put some, and I'm just throwing this out is what I'm doing now personally, but I've tried each day now to break that up. And part of this comes from an idea that I came across a Bible reading schedule where they actually do a variety of Bible passages every day. I'm not one that necessarily enjoys jumping all over the Bible for my Bible reading either. And so what I've done is I've kind of split it up by day. Now, as far as the Lord's Day, I emphasize the pastoral epistles because the pastoral epistles help me prepare my heart for ministry on the Lord's Day. On Mondays, I'm starting this now, Genesis through Job. So I kind of break it up a little bit. So I read that portion of Scripture on a Monday, and I just kind of work my way through those. On Tuesdays, the New Testament Gospels, Acts, and Revelation. On Wednesday, the Old Testament prophets. How many times have we started reading the Bible and we never get to the prophets? You know, we get bogged down in the genealogies of First Chronicles, and it's like we lose momentum. So again, get some variety, and let me just say this, you're going to be praying for America when you start reading through the Old Testament prophets, because some of the things that Israel and Judah were condemned for, we have going on in our country. On Thursday, I emphasize the New Testament epistles. On Friday, Old Testament reading in Proverbs through Song of Solomon. Again, just going down through that, if it takes me 10 weeks, whatever. And then on Saturday, going through the Psalms. I just have 3x5 cards, I just rotate through them, very simple. But again, it's just something that I'm working on right now because I want to have variety. I want to keep things fresh as far as my time with God. But I want you to emphasize again. I want to emphasize again. We need to slow down in our reading. We've got to get past this assignment mentality. This is why I'm emphasizing this quite often. We have had this so indoctrinated into our minds that we feel guilty, and I believe it is a false guilt. As I've said before, what person in the first century could have read through their entire Bible in a year? They didn't have an entire Bible. In fact, the only Bible that they had in many cases was what they copied down, because they had one manuscript for the church. And so they would make their own copy of it and so on. So again, I want for us to get beyond this so that we can honestly see this prayer request come alive in our lives. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Here's the point. I've forsaken all reading assignments. I don't have one checklist in my possession. I don't have one checklist on my computer, anything. Like, I'm setting aside this mentality where you have to read a certain amount in order to be a good Christian. But I want you to think about this. When we have this reading mentality, we're only paying attention to words on the page. We're not paying attention to the message that God is trying to teach us. So what I'm emphasizing with this is that we need to be praying over words and phrases. So let's look at verse 18 as an example. Open thou mine eyes. How many times we don't see things because we rush hastily through our Bible reading? What I'm emphasizing tonight is, let's slow down, get past this assignment mentality so that God can open our eyes. And can I give you an example of this? The Jewish leaders of Christ's day, they knew what the Bible said, that Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem of Judah. They quoted Micah 5:2, but how many of them went to see if the Messiah really had come? They knew what the Bible said, but it made no difference in our lives. What is prayer? You think about this. There's so many definitions about what prayer really is. John Rice had a famous book entitled Prayer, Asking and Receiving. No, no, no. It is not true. Prayer is not asking and receiving. That makes God a vending machine. Yes, God wants to hear our requests. But I want to emphasize tonight that prayer is communion with God. Notice Genesis chapter 5. I just want to remind you of a few examples here, just by way of introduction, as we look at some practical things then as well. Genesis chapter 5, we see an example here of Enoch. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. All right, while you're finishing turning there, let me get another passage in the New Testament I want us to compare with here. Notice here, Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. You know, to walk with God. Notice here, it was emphasized in his life when Methuselah was born. And that's one of the things many parents experience. When they have a little one they're responsible for, we need to be more serious about church, because we want them to be taught the Word of God and so on. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Notice, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. That's the way Genesis describes it. Listen to Hebrews 11, verse 5. And I'm going to read a verse that we're very familiar with, but we often don't put it in its context. Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith Enoch was translated, we sometimes call it raptured. I like the word translated better because it's a Bible word, that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's the New Testament commentary on him walking with God. How can you walk with God if you don't please him? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos asked. Notice again, he had a testimony that he pleased God. Enoch spent time with God. He walked with God. Literally, he lived with God. He walked about with God. Here's the verse we often think about, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, so Enoch believed that he existed, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So first example we have Enoch. Notice also Genesis chapter 18. We've seen this a while back here, but I want to point out or highlight something here as far as Abraham's life. And while you're turning there, we often see on more than one occasion, I think it's two or three times in the Bible, where Abraham is described as the friend of God. Now, that's something I've prayed for off and on over the years. God, that you would consider myself to be your friend. In fact, in Isaiah, Abraham, my friend. That's God saying Abraham is my friend. Notice there, verse 22. All right, so those of us who think that we have to be in a certain position for prayer, you pay attention when you slow down and actually read the Bible for what it says. Sometimes they stood before God. Sometimes they bowed their head before God. Paul says, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's various postures. In fact, as I was reading in John here recently, it says that Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and prayed. Well, okay, you have to bow your head and close your eyes, right? No, Jesus says lifted his eyes to heaven and prayed. In fact, I've read, and in fact, the video of Sheffy. In fact, he was mocked by a liberal preacher, pastor, whatever, head of the part of the the Methodist hierarchy. You talk like you're talking to God, and of course, Sheffy asks, "Tell me, when you pray, who do you talk to?" It's like, but literally, he just lifted his eyes and prayed. Notice it says Abraham. Then in verse 22, Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Verse 23 says that Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked?" And as you go down through verses 23 and following, we see that Abraham, this is when he's pleading and interceding on behalf of the righteous. He's not asking the city to be spared for the city itself. He's asking for the city to be spared because of the righteous. So what God does is, well, I can't spare the city because there's not 10 righteous, Abraham. But what I will do is I will allow the righteous to be removed before I destroy the city. Notice, drop down to verse 33 then. The Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. But notice he spent time communing with Abraham. So again, we see that example. Also, we don't need to turn there. Exodus 33:11 talks about Moses, and it says, "The Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." Now, here's a problem when we quickly read through the Bible, when we don't pay attention to words and phrases. Here's what is limited in our lives spiritually. First of all, we limit communion with God, even as we've seen here. I don't think that Abraham is saying, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous and the wicked, peradventure?" That's not how Abraham is praying here. He's communing with the Lord. The Lord is communing with Abraham, it says. So again, we limit communion with God. And again, 2 Corinthians talks about communion, the communion of the Holy Spirit. Something else that we limit, the effects of quickly reading through Scripture without paying attention prayerfully, we limit the sanctifying work of God's truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. When we hurry through our Bible reading, we don't allow the Holy Spirit to prick our conscience and say, you need to work on that, don't you? How many times have you honestly, slowly read through the Bible and all of a sudden the Bible talks about murmuring? All of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, "You've been murmuring a little bit, haven't you? Wow, look how serious it made God angry." You see, those are the things, presumptuous sin, secret sin. I mean, you slow down and you pay attention. You know what that's going to do? Here's the problem right here. Here's the problem. We don't want to be honest before God, so we're going to quickly read through the Bible. We don't want the Holy Spirit to be able to speak to us because I'm going to have to deal with something in my life. So we limit the sanctifying work of God's truth when we hurry through our Bible reading. We read, but nothing changes. How many times I have heard of people reading their Bible so many times over the years, and you look at their life and it's like, Wait a minute. Okay, you read that many times through the Bible, but here's your life. There's not much of a match there. There's not much of a comparison. Third consequence, we limit the Holy Spirit to teach us. Let's be John 14. We don't allow the Holy Spirit to teach us. And again, the only way you can understand what this is all about is by slowing down and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you. It's not a mystical thing. It's not. The Holy Spirit uses the written Word of God to speak to us. Notice it says here, John 14:26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." And let me just say it this way. There's times when I remember what's in the Bible because I've slowly studied through the Bible over the years. I want to make a distinction between study and meditation in our lessons. But notice here it says, he will teach you all things. But as he teaches us, notice what's going to happen. He's going to bring all things to our remembrance whatsoever Jesus has said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Notice here again, the Holy Spirit wants to teach us. And if we slow down and wait for him to teach us, we're going to have a greater recall of these things. I'm not saying necessarily memorizing the Bible. I'm going to make a distinction with some of these things. We're talking about meditating, prayerfully meditating upon Scripture. Now, the Bible emphasizes meditation often over hasty reading. In fact, you cannot find one reference in the Bible to hastily reading the Bible. I've looked. You can't find it. In fact, in comparison, meditation over even reading. Okay, let me give you an example. This came to my mind. 1 Timothy 4:13, I think it is. Paul says, give attendance to reading. In fact, that's probably public reading, but even if it's private reading, pay attention. Give attention, attendance to reading. We're not talking about just hastily reading through. Let me just say this. You know, there's times when preachers will talk about, you know, I read a book every day. It's like, I read a lot, and I don't read a book every day. I don't have enough time to read a book every day. In fact, if that's really true in their lives, and all the things that they say they're doing and accomplishing and everything, I don't know how it's possible unless they're such a speed reader. But when I read, I stop and take notes or mark or whatever, you know, I read a PDF and I'll have to take notes. But again, slowing down so that God has time to speak to us. But reading. But the other verse about reading that it comes to my attention is Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear. That's probably public reading of the book of Revelation. So public, the public reading of it. Why? Because not everyone had their own copy of the book of Revelation. Not everyone had a copy of it, so they constantly were reading through that in each of the seven churches so that they could remember. Now, let's go back to Psalm 119. I want to show you some things in the context about meditation. So these are some things that the Lord is trying to strengthen in my life. And again, I want to emphasize, we have replaced meditation with reading assignments. I'm going to say it the way it is. We have replaced meditation with reading assignments. So because we're not meditating on Scripture, at least I'm reading the Bible. That's better than not doing anything. But I believe God wants us to slow down so we pay attention to what He has to say. Notice verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Notice the emphasis he has. I'm going to meditate. I have respect. I will delight myself in thy statutes. And he's talking about God's law, God's commands. Also, verse 23. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Verse 48 is another example. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. All those rules. You know, if we fall in love with the Bible, we won't look at it that way. What about all the rules? Well, God gave us commands because he knows it's for our good. But notice, my hands will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Also, verse 78. And by the way, I did a search in my Bible search program, and I can't find one time read or reading in Psalm 119. And yet, how many times we're seeing meditation or meditate or whatever. Verse 78, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Verse 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. How many times we got to watch the news before I go to bed? Maybe it's better for us to read the good news before we go to bed. Maybe we'll sleep better instead of wars and rumors of wars and all the stuff that's going on. Now, with that said, let's look at verse 97. I want for us to see in the midst of all of this, his description and the effect of meditation had in his life. The psalmist here. Verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. We meditate on what we love. Okay? So based on that, how much do you love this book right here? All right, that's self-condemning right there, isn't it? Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, so I don't need church anymore. I understand more than you do, preacher. No, God gives us teachers and preachers for a reason to help us and strengthen these things. But here he says, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Oh, that was very true as far as public school. I remember in history class, the history teacher down in Texas, down in the Bible Belt, said this. He said, however you think we got here, that's up to you. What we know is that man has been around for a million years. So I went home and I got my dad's books out and I started doing some reading and I said, I have a problem with what you said in class yesterday. He said, well, yeah, my grandpa was a Baptist preacher. Well, you sure don't believe what your grandpa taught then, do you? How do you think we got here? I had more understanding than my teacher. And that was at 17 years old. And he had been college trained. Why? Because this book was important to me as a teenager even. I have more understanding than all my teachers. For thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, the elderly, because I keep thy precepts. Let me just say this. Wisdom is not always found in somebody who's gray-headed. But again, you notice here, read and reading is not mentioned in Psalm 119. Meditation, meditation, meditation. So how do we meditate? First of all, as I've already been emphasizing, slow down and savor God's words. It's not just, check off this chapter. Slow down and savor God's words. Jeremiah 15:16 says, thy words were found and I did eat them. That's not literally eating a Bible page or whatever. Notice, we're spiritually devouring God's word. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. If you ever get to that point where you just devour what God has to say and it becomes the rejoicing of your heart, you won't have to be made to read the Bible. You won't have to feel guilty when the preacher talks about this on Wednesday night. Psalm 119:103. Notice it says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Slow down and savor God's words. Parents have to sometimes teach their children, chew your food before you swallow. Slow down and chew your food. Job 23:12. Job says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I don't know too many of us who get to the end of the day, oh, I forgot to eat. In fact, my bowl of cereal this morning didn't last me very long, so we had a Five Guys card given to us here recently, and So we're doing our shopping here today, and we're heading up 27th, and I said, do you have that Five Guys card with you? So I was thinking maybe I'll just get a shake, and she said, well, yeah, we can grab a burger or something. So I devoured it. I was so hungry, and it was good. What about the Word of God? How many of us get to the end of the week and say, oh, I forgot to eat all week? But how many of us could honestly say, oh, I forgot to read my Bible this week? Oh, where's my Bible? I got to get it for tomorrow. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. If we get to that attitude, then we're going to enjoy time in God's Word. It's been a while since I've used the illustration, perfect illustration for meditation, are cows. What do cows do? In the cool part of the day, they gather in food. And then where do you find them later in the day? When the sun is up and it's hot, they're under a shade tree if they can find one, and they're chewing on what they ate in the morning. Literally, what we read in the morning, we should be chewing on it throughout the day. Pray through each phrase of the Bible. My eyes just saw verse 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Okay, when we read that, do we say, Lord, thank you for your wonderful testimonies? Or do we just read words on a page? God is trying to talk to us through the Holy Spirit, through his words. Therefore doth my soul keep them. We're not just going through the motions of obeying. We're going to obey from our soul. Notice again, just paying attention to the words. Praying through each phrase and meditating on each word. God's testimonies. Paying attention to that word. If you don't understand something, just quickly look up what testimonies mean. I suggest the Webster's 1828 dictionary because that's closest to when the Bible was written and so on. Therefore doth my soul keep them. But they're wonderful. Meditating on each word. Enjoying communion with the Lord. Talk to God as the Holy Spirit talks to you through his word. Literally, this is only going to happen when we slow down and pay attention to what God is trying to tell us, trying to teach us. Now, let's give you an example of Daniel 9. I'll show you here what Daniel found in the Bible, and it provoked him, it moved him to prayer. He started praying God's words back to him. Daniel 9, verse 1, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books, plural, probably the scrolls of Jeremiah, but it may have been another scroll as well. But in particular, Jeremiah has this reference. The number of the years whereof the word of the Lord, came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Daniel calculated, okay, I'm this old. Lord, you're going to deal with this here soon, aren't you? All of a sudden, that moved him to begin praying. I set my face on the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Why? Because of what he read in Jeremiah. It moved him to start praying to God about what he read in Jeremiah. I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we, notice he includes himself, we hearken unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee. But unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. All of that prayer is because what he saw in Jeremiah about the 70 years, knowing that God was going to soon work. Let me emphasize a couple of things here as we tie all this together. First of all, how is it that we're going to meditate effectively upon the Lord? First of all, you need salvation. There's absolutely no way. I mean, all you're going to do is read words on a page. Oh, yeah, and you might understand some things or whatever. But unless you are truly saved, born again, whatever phrase you want to use from the Bible, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. It's no wonder an unsaved person doesn't truly desire and understand this book. Also, we need desire. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. I think back to school days and college and so on. Some reading assignments were enjoyable because it was a subject I enjoyed or a book I enjoyed or whatever. But most of my assignments for reading in school and college were not really that enjoyable. Why? Because they were assignments. I had to do it. Now, I've told you, a lot of my reading now is older books. I find older books. Why? Because there's more substance to them than the modern books, most of them at least. But here's the thing about that. I read that because I desire it. Notice also Luke 10, 21. Again, we're wrapping it up here. Luke 10, 21. Luke 10, 21. We need a humility when we come to the Bible as well. If we are a know-it-all, then we're not going to see much from the Word of God. Luke 10, 21. Here's what Jesus said. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Notice that title of God the Father. Again, those are the things I pay attention to when I'm reading. That thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, as far as this world is concerned, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Drop down then to verse 38. We also need right priorities. Now it came to pass as they went that Jesus entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, you're full of care and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Notice Mary was casually enjoying listening to Jesus. Martha was busy and cumbered about much service. We need to have right priorities. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples from my reading here over the last year or so. Read the biography of George Whitefield. I just was curious. He wasn't a Baptist, but yet I read from time to time that some of his converts ended up getting baptized by immersion, becoming Baptists. And so they were true converts to Christ, but he didn't ever teach immersion baptism. Well, as far as George Whitefield, who lived in the 1700s, it's estimated that he preached 18,000 times, sometimes twice a day. 6 or 7 days a week. He was also responsible for an orphanage orphanages, if I remember right, in Georgia. No planes, no cars, no trains in his day. And he preached an estimated 18,000 times. I think it was like 13 times he crossed the Atlantic in a ship as well, going back and forth between the colonies and England. All of that, and it says his practice was to prayerfully read Scripture every day. In fact, one record that testimony of him is he would pray 1 hour 3 times a day in the midst of that busy schedule. Also, somebody else was that I read quite a while ago now is George Mueller. He had responsibility of thousands of orphans in the end of by the time all that grew in England there. He also, and we're not commonly remembering some of this, but he also published scriptures and shipped them out literally around the world. His practice was to prayerfully read through the Bible every 3 months. And according to the testimony, he read through the Bible 200 times. He was a busy, busy man, but he had time to read through the Bible. And George Whitefield was the one who inspired George Mueller in that. And George Whitefield said this, I began to read the Holy Scriptures upon my knees. This proved meat indeed and drink indeed to my soul. I daily received fresh light and power from above. No reading assignments. And in fact, a lot of these old-time preachers and people who written these old books, a lot of times I see they read through the Bible, mark the place, and they start where they left off before. Literally, they're just allowing God to speak to them. But can I point out the whole key to that? They realized there was a priority enough. In fact, I've read some of these preachers and others who say, and I'm not saying you need to do 3 hours. I did not do 3 hours a day when I was working FedEx and pastoring a church. But here's the key. I'm encouraging us, I'm challenging us to slow down and pay attention to what we're reading. It would be better to read a chapter a day slowly, getting something from God, than to hurriedly read something and you rush out through the day and you got nothing from it. Because I guarantee when you do it that way, when you're just checking off your assignment, it's not going to have an impact on you throughout the day. There have been times when I've prayed and meditated through a passage of Scripture, and I'll deal with something similar to what I studied and read in that morning. And so I praise the Lord. Thank you. I spent my time with you so that I knew what I needed to do in response to this. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be challenged in our prayer life, in our Bible reading, Lord. So many times we make a distinction with those two things, those two practices. Lord, in reality, they should be the same practice, the same thing. Lord, as we read your word, we're praying your words to you, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak us. Lord, please, please, I'm asking this personally, and for anyone else in our church family that deals with this, Lord, that has been so indoctrinated with this idea that you have to read through the Bible in a year in order to be a good Christian. So we read an assignment. That's all it is. It's an assignment. Instead of getting something from you. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.